He's recording, darling.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I was watching. It was a timer. I thought maybe something was going to go poof in a minute. Poof, you're out of here. Morning.
Good morning.
Everybody liking winter?
I love it. As the sun goes down.
Yeah, today's going to be a big adjustment. Although, Thursday evening last week when we had Bible study, it was dark at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's, but then Saturday, Friday evening, Saturday wasn't bad. And tonight it's going to be that again. So.
Is that for me to try this again?
Okay.
It's hanging on one. It won't.
It won't advance?
It won't go live.
Yeah. I've been in that position a time or two. Just hanging on a number and can't get past it.
Yeah, it's just hanging there and eventually it'll come up and say it didn't connect.
Yeah, that's what it said. That's what it says there, I think. Okay. Let's ask God for help this morning, please. Or, as Gerald's always saying, the Holy Spirit's in us. We need to ask Him for His help. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for this group that's gathered here, dear Lord. We're here to study Your Word. And we're here because we have that desire in our heart to know more about You and to know the plan that You have for us, dear Lord. And we realize, we understand that those plans are made available to us through the Holy Spirit, dear Lord. We just need to trust and believe and follow. That's the important part. We have to follow. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. The title of our lesson. Oh, that's the wrong lesson, Susie.
Yeah.
Well, I looked at it three times and didn't recognize it, but now it hit me. Yeah. The power to impart wisdom. And I keep thinking about this back in terms of raising kids. You know, it all comes back to that. Or even if you were a kid being raised. We want nothing more than to have our kids grow up knowing the proper things to do, the proper ways to go, and the things that they need to do to have a successful life. We want nothing more than success for our kids, for our family members. So the power to impart wisdom comes from
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. And we get the Holy Spirit when?
When you're saved.
When you receive salvation, the Holy Spirit. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. It's in you. But the hard part is succumbing to the Holy Spirit. Following the guidance that the Holy Spirit puts out there. I mean, it's one thing to have it. It's another thing to make use of it. The introduction in my Bible to Corinthians, I think, is pretty good. It says, on a bed of grass, a chameleon's skin turns green. On the earth, it becomes brown. The animal's skin changes to match its environment. Many creatures blend into nature with God-given camouflage to aid their survival. It's natural for us to want to fit in and adapt to the current environment too. Followers of Jesus, however, are new creations. They have values, are new creations. They have values and lifestyles that confront the world and often clash with accepted morals. True believers don't usually blend in very well. Keep that in mind. True believers don't generally blend in very well to the world. Because the world is what? It's a bad place. It is a bad place. And we have to be careful where we are, the things we do, the people that we associate with. Now, that doesn't mean that we're supposed to withdraw. We're supposed to what?
Witness.
We're supposed to share the good news of Christ. We're supposed to share that with everyone. And when we share, it makes us stronger. It makes us more likely. If you share once and it's well received, you're more likely to do it the second time. But if you share once and it's not received, more than likely you're going to withdraw. But
you know, most people have a Bible that's been 400 years old. It was translated from the Greek 400 years ago, and they won't study anything else. But if you allow the Holy Spirit, there's been a lot of things that have been discovered and everything since it was translated 400 years ago, but people don't want to look at any other Bible or any other translation or nothing. They just go, they claim that the Bible is inspired by God, and they won't read another Bible. Most people had that.
Yeah.
It's 400 years old.
Well, what you're describing is tunnel vision. Okay? You don't look outside. You don't look outside the scope of what you can see right in front of you.
Yeah.
But are we... Do we speak Greek?
No.
Do we speak Aramaic? We have to depend on the people that translated that into a language that we can identify with. That we can...
I can hardly identify with it.
Yeah.
400 years ago.
Right. Well, did you all watch The Passion of the Christ, the movie that Mel Gibson made? Okay. He made it. It was in Aramaic. Of course, it had subtitles that you had to read. But, I mean, where we have one word, it took them four words to say the same thing that we say in one word. Now, is that better? Maybe not always, but it's different. And we have to be able, we have to be open enough to realize that there are differences. And we can't have tunnel vision. We've got to broaden our scope, broaden our horizon. And that's what Paul did. And there was something else that I read when I was studying this lesson that I did not realize. Paul's ministry was only 3 years. Who else had a ministry that lasted 3 years?
Christ.
Did you all know that? Am I the only one that just figured that out? It lasted 3 years. And look at what Paul was able to accomplish in 3 years. Could he have done that had it not been for the Holy Spirit or for Christ? And he actually spent time with Christ after he was converted. And Christ told him, This is my plan for you, Paul. I want you to take the gospel to the Gentiles. That was my purpose, was to open it up to everybody. And he said, my plan for you is to continue. Well, Paul only had 3 years too. He had a lot of territory to cover in 3 years, but his message remained the same. So as we get into this scripture today, the power to impart wisdom, this was Paul's first statement back in verse 2. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul says, I know that much. That's all I need to know. I need to preach on that. I need to get you to understand that Jesus Christ was here. He was among you and he was crucified. That's my goal.
Most people want to just argue about the scripture, but Paul didn't. He wouldn't preach nothing, only Christ and him.
He got the gist of the whole thing. These last five lessons that we're studying in this lesson is about the all-powerful God. We've learned about his presence. He's everywhere. We've learned about his omniscience, that he knows everything. And now we're learning about his omnipotence, his power, the power that he had. And the Holy Spirit is the only one who has the power to impart wisdom. Okay, so we have a lot of people that try to determine the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Not only is there a difference between intelligence and common sense, but there's also a big, significant difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. And sometimes it's a very fine line that you're walking on one, but we're not supposed to get deterred. I just saw this in a thing not too long ago about the road to heaven. There's a wide lane over here, and it's just full of people. But over here's a narrow lane, and there's a trickling. It's a trickle of one or two or three or four. So it's a narrow road that we have to walk in, but we have to be vigilant in order to do that. Okay, that's enough to get us started. All right, if somebody would, we're in this book of 1 Corinthians, which, you know, Paul had a little bit of trouble with this church in Corinth, didn't he? Yeah. He founded the church, but then after he left and went away, continuing on his missionary journey, then the church people started to fall back into some of their old ways. They started to, I guess that's regress. And sometimes that happens to us. And Tim always prays for the churches that don't have pastors. When you don't have a leader, a pastor, it's easy to get sidetracked, isn't it? We've got to, and that's why we need to pray for our pastors all the time, because what they do, I couldn't do it. Probably nobody here could do it. But he does it, and I'm so thankful for him. We're talking about, all right, there's two different sections to our lesson today. First is wisdom among the mature. Who's it referring to when it's talking to the mature?
Believers. Those
believers, yes, the believers. They're the mature ones. Now, you know, I'm 74 years old, so I think I'm a little mature, but I'm probably not as mature as I need to be. You know what I mean? We can all grow. No matter what our age is, we can all grow and we can all learn. When you shut yourself off to learning, you do a big disservice to yourself. Yeah. Okay, so the wisdom among the mature. If somebody would read, let's see, it's the first four verses, 6, 7, 8, 9, please.
Happy at the wisdom of this world, more of the princes of this world entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared.
Yeah. The Corinthians' fascination with worldly knowledge and wisdom had taken them away from the message of the cross, which was the very heart of Paul's gospel. So our first question asked us today, why did the Corinthians not recognize the wisdom of Paul's message about the cross? Why didn't they recognize that?
No understanding.
No understanding because?
They
were still in the world. So we're talking about believers here. We're talking about the mature people, the believers, but they were still clinging to the world, weren't they? So in their immaturity, even though they were mature, they were believers, but they were still immature. Do we ever stop learning?
No,
we shouldn't. If we stop learning, we're doing ourselves a disservice. But that's why that they didn't understand that, because they were so immature. And he says, them that are perfect. Well, them that are perfect, I don't consider myself by any stretch. But the people at Corinth, they thought they had it all, didn't they? They thought they had the wisdom of God, and they thought they had the wisdom of the world. And the two things, they were juggling back and forth between the two. But Paul says the wisdom of God is a mystery, and it's hidden. Why would God hide? Why would he hide that? Why would he hide the wisdom of God?
Well, I think it's because then, if they had known before, then maybe he would, like the scripture said.
They wouldn't have crucified him. Yeah.
This plan of grace and salvation was hid from the devil, because it says if the devil would have known that people, when Christ was crucified, that Christ was going to take all of our sins and we could be saved for eternity, he wouldn't have crucified Christ. Christ hadn't got crucified, we wouldn't have had no chance of salvation, because it took the blood of Christ.
Very good.
Now here's a theory that I've thought about while I was reading this here. In our lifetime, before we were saved, we were living in our postcard, or whatever you might call it, for example, for God from here on out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
Yeah, we were dead to the dead to.
We're dead to the world.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Okay, the second question wants to know who were, and there he talks about the princes of this world. Who were the princes of this world?
The devil.
That he was talking about. Who else?
His minions, the rulers.
The rulers. He's talking about all of the people that participated in the crucifixion of Christ. Those are the princes of this world. They were the influencers. And why? What caused them to stay in this condition? This in this depraved condition. What caused them to stay that? Gerald just mentioned the devil. If he had known that this Christ crucifixion and resurrection was going to lead to millions of people to follow him, he wouldn't have allowed it to happen.
It wasn't really the devil, it was the people.
Yeah, yeah. Do we acknowledge that the devil is there?
We should.
Well, what was it Maude said? The devil made me do it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Flip Wilson, I'm sorry. Oh, Maude was, God's going to get you for that, Walter. Okay. But Flip Wilson, yeah, the devil made me do it. And I don't think sometimes that we acknowledge the devil and give him his due. And not that we're going to praise him, but we have to understand that he's still at work in this world. And he likes nothing better than to get put doubt or unbelief in the heart of a follower, a believer. If he can get you to doubt about anything, and I've said this before, but I think one of the biggest things that he uses to make you doubt is the health or of your loved one. If you have someone like June has a brother that's not well and she just had a nephew that passed, when you have sickness in your family, I think that gives the devil an in. He says, well, I'm going to make them believe that there's nothing God can do to help this person. Okay? And that gives the devil a foot up. But we have to stay resolute, because if we're praying for someone and they don't get healed here, we have a firm belief that they're healed on the next level, aren't they?
Yeah.
We firmly believe that. Okay. All right, let's see. Was that all the questions? Oh, and this last verse that Debbie read, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Paul went back and quoted Isaiah. So if you don't know anything else, you need to understand that eye hath not seen, or ear hath not heard, the things that God has in store for us. As much as we know and as much as we understand, it's going to far exceed anything that we can imagine in this life.
We can't comprehend.
We just cannot comprehend, yeah.
You ever think about looking into God? Uh-huh. Each one of us is considered a flower.
Yeah. Well, I would be a rose. I just had to pick one. I bought this a calla lily one time, and it was chocolate. And when it bloomed, it was kind of dark, and my husband walked around the house and he said, only you would plant a black flower. But it wasn't really black, it was chocolate, but anyway. Okay, all right. Only the Holy Spirit can truly know the thoughts of God, and only individual persons understand their own thoughts.
This ninth verse is talking mostly about when you get saved. That's when you your eyes are open and the Holy Spirit begins to show you all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So when the person gets saved, why you don't see all the blessings and everything until you get saved.
It's just like somebody turned the lights on, isn't it?
Yeah.
They turned the lights on and now everything's visible to you. I was thinking when it said only individual persons understand their own thoughts. Have you ever had anybody say, a penny for your thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say a penny would be overpaying sometimes. But then here's another thought I had. I'm not saying this from personal experience, but if you get stopped on the highway and the policeman comes up to your door, what's the first question he asks you?
License and registration.
No.
Where were you going?
Maybe pay Kayla knows. Do you know how fast you were going?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they wanted. The first thing they do, do you know how fast you were going? And lots of times you say, well, yeah, I was driving the speed limit, but they have things that prove otherwise. But only God knows our individual thoughts. I mean, he can read our thoughts. He knows what we're going to do before we do it, doesn't he? Okay. The lesson book went on to talk about some of the troubles that Paul had had in some of his journeys. Like, he thought he was going to go here, and then the Holy Spirit says, no, not going to go there, you're going to go here. And he was back and forth several different times. But Paul modeled a servant's heart. What is exactly a servant's heart?
Christ-like.
Heart being led by the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh. Being able to do things, maybe even that are outside your comfort zone, isn't it? It may not be something that you have been accustomed to. It could be totally brand new. But if you have the heart of a servant, you're going to say, Lord, let me serve you. Yeah. And in the day of I-ism, egoism, the servant's heart is hard to find. It's hard to find.
And service is an action.
Yeah.
It's not just a thought.
It is.
It's an action.
Yeah.
So you work for God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move on. The next is wisdom and the mind of God. If somebody will read 6, 7, and 8. Did anybody have any questions or comments about that?
I think we read 6, 7, and 8.
No, we didn't. Oh, okay. How about
10 and 11?
So, thank you.
I'm like, where did 6, 7,
8? 10 and 11.
God hath revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit.
Yes. God has revealed this to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit. And even the deep things of God. Have you ever, well, even some of the Bible study that we've been doing, do you think, oh, that's just too hard to understand. I just can't grasp that. But let me ask you, how much time are you spending on it? That might be the answer to the question right now. If there are things that you don't understand, or there are things that you just don't get, you need to spend more time researching it and trying to figure it out.
We have to have that divine change from
God. Right. And there's always people that are willing to help us if we just ask.
But the Holy Spirit, he's there to help us.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And there are times when it's not ready for for you to understand, because you're not at that place in your Christian life where
You can read the same passage of Scripture and derive something different from it each time you read it, depending on where the Holy Spirit is leading you. And I think that's sometimes you can read through things and you think, well, that just, nothing there applied to me. But read it again. Read it again. There's no harm in repeating. Okay. We good? All right. Now, where am I? 12, 13, and 14. Thank you. Someone read that, please.
Now we have discerned.
Okay, so now we have received. Who's he talking about, we? The believers. The believers. Now we have received the Spirit of God, that we might know these things. That we might know these things. God didn't just give us salvation and turn us loose, did he? No. He's given us his word. He's given us the Holy Spirit for guidance. We have all of the help that we could ever possibly need. We have our own tutor. Every time we pick up this book, we have our own personal tutor in the Word of God. And he says that we might know the things that are what? Free. Freely given to us. Well, freely. But what does he ask in return for all of this free stuff that he's given us?
Obedience.
Obedience. I think that's something that people pass over so glibly, or, you know, don't think about it that much. Yeah, because it's free.
We was just saved and got the Holy Spirit, and that was the
right.
Obedience. And
right, right.
That's another language for a lot of people.
Truly, it is. It is. Okay. Question number six. What does it mean to know the things that are freely given to us? What does it mean? Oh, here comes some people.
Gives you an opportunity to learn from the
Yeah, and when we stop learning, yeah. Every day is a day to learn something new, isn't it? That's right. Okay, then in verse 14, he's talking here about the natural man. And who's that? The natural man.
Unsaved.
The unsaved. The natural man doesn't get it, does he? He doesn't receive this thing from the Holy Spirit. And without that, he can't know. He can't know, or he can't spiritually discern the things that are supposed to happen. What doctrine is taught in verse 14? What doctrine is taught in verse 14?
It says of human depravity.
Human depravity. Why is there human depravity?
Choice.
Choice? Because the devil is not going to let it rest, is he? Yeah. Just because you become saved doesn't... It, honestly, when you become saved, it puts a target on your back, doesn't it? That points out to Satan who to go after. So we have to be fully aware all the time. We've been saved, but we haven't been separated from the world. And we have to live in the world. We still have to live in the world. So we've got to be vigilant. We've got to count on the guidance of the Holy Spirit to lead us through not just the big things, but even the little things. When you say your prayers in the morning or at night, do you thank God for all the little things, or do you only pray when you've got big things going on? And then if that big thing gets taken care of, do you go back and thank God for taking care of that? I think sometimes we probably don't. We should, but we probably don't always. Prayerful attitude. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I looked it up so I would know exactly what they say, that human depravity. Yeah. So
you cannot do it without the Spirit. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We've got two more verses. Everybody okay so far? Somebody read those last two verses, 15 and 16.
But he that is spiritual.
Okay. Now the trick word in this verse is judge. What's judge not, lest ye be judged. And we are criticized oftentimes because people that are outside the church think that everyone that's inside the church is judging them for the things that they do. This is not what he's talking about here. Paul's talking about being able to discern the good things from the bad things, and you can only have that spiritual discernment through the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And he says, but at the very end, he says, we have the mind of Christ. Well, that's a pretty big burden, isn't it? To think that we have the mind of Christ, because look how he was all-knowing, all-being, all-powerful. And that we have that mind simply because we believe? That's a burden. And that's a burden that we need to share with others.
It's a challenge, because at the end of the day,
God is the judge. That's right. That's right. Okay. Any questions or comments on the lesson? It's been good. I appreciate all the help. All right. The golden text. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages, before our glory. God ordained before the ages. When we've been studying this, the past lessons here in Genesis, He had this all set out before the one that we just finished up was, when was your name written in the book of life? Well, we've determined it was before the foundation of the world. So before the foundation of the world, he knew that he wanted us in glory. He wanted us with him. Okay, practical points.
Unlike God's wisdom, the
word is true. Loving God makes his wisdom known to us through his Holy Spirit. Believers have the mind of Christ and should remember that daily.
Very good. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Next week, parting of the Red Sea. Whew. Should I turn this off? Okay.